Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and it's entitled, Confirming One's Calling and Election. Verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us a very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly affection, and brotherly affection, add love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here ends our reading. May God add his blessing to it. Now, the upshot of this verse is very simple. And that is, God has given us everything we need in order to be a Christ-like person. In fact, the name Christian literally means Christ-like. He begins by saying his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, that is Jesus. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we have a promise, and that promise is that we can participate in the divine nature. And you say, well, yeah, we'll get there when we get to heaven. But you see, friends, Peter isn't talking about some far-off day when we get to heaven. He's talking about right now. Yes, heaven is the final place where that final Christ-like perfection will come. But the process starts in this life, and it gets completed in the life to come. But let's be clear about something. Salvation does not depend on good deeds. Salvation comes from faith, and only God can give us that faith and salvation. It is a gift. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. No amount of good works, regardless of how hard we work, will ever be enough. However, once we receive that free gift of faith and salvation, then is when we have the ability and the obligation to do good deeds. In other words, if our faith is for real, we will know it, and everyone around us will know it by our actions. And you might be asking yourself, you mean once I have faith and receive salvation, that's not the end? I'm supposed to become more and more like Jesus? That's right. But how? By knowing him. Verse 3 reminds us of this and says that we have everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. You may have noticed that in your life, the more you know about someone that you love and respect, the more you become like them. And the more knowledge you have about Jesus Christ through prayer, through Bible study and worship, the more you will become like Christ. Now, verses 5 through 9 then give us a detailed description of the things that will make us more and more Christ-like. Now, let me give you a picture in order to get a handle on this next paragraph of our passage. I want you to think of a high platform floating in the air. There's no ladder or pole or stairway to access that platform. It's just floating in the air. And on top of that platform is a ladder that goes up even higher. That platform is faith and salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ picks us up and puts us on that platform of faith. And then, once we've got used to the glory of being lifted up out of sin, then is when the Lord says to us, look at the height to which my grace has raised you. And we say, yes, that's wonderful. Then the Lord says, now that I've raised you up, I want you to go over to that ladder and begin to climb even higher. And you see, each one of these qualities listed here, the goodness, knowledge, self-control, and so on, those are like the rungs in that ladder. And each rung is spaced just a little bit further from the other, and therefore it takes just a little bit more effort. So let me briefly explain each one of these. He says, make every effort, okay, this is us working, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now, goodness is a very vague word. What does it mean? Well, in the original Greek of the New Testament, it's the word erate. And this is a word that describes a field that's fertile. In other words, one that is productive and useful. We need to make every effort to add to our faith goodness, that we need to be useful and productive to the kingdom of heaven, to the church, and to other people. And we do that by making ourselves available. We make a decision to make ourselves available to God and to the church in order to accomplish his works that he calls us to. That's that first rung in the ladder. The next rung is spaced just a little bit further apart. And that rung is called knowledge. And in the original Greek of the New Testament, this is the word gnosis. And it means a practical knowledge of God's will, knowing what the ultimate will of God is, and then applying that to our everyday life. And when we have that knowledge of God's will, we can then follow, and we will become more like Christ. The third rung up the ladder, which again is spaced just a little bit further up, is self-control. And this is where a lot of very good Christian people falter. It requires a lot of help to make this rung. It may require professional help at times. But in the original Greek of the New Testament, the word self-control is egratia. It's the ability to get a grip on oneself. What part of yourself do you need to get a grip on? What part of yourself do you need to control? For many, many people, the first and foremost answer is they need to get a grip on their mouth. They need to get a grip on their mouth in terms of what they put in it and or what they allow to come out of it. Or maybe it's something a little more abstract, like an attitude or a thought or some old bitterness. He says, to your faith add goodness, and to goodness add knowledge, and to knowledge add self-control. Getting a grip on whatever it is we need to get a grip on. The next rung is called perseverance. And this is a very difficult word to explain, but it goes along with self-control. It goes along with the idea of taking grip of something, because perseverance simply means never letting go. Once you have got a grip on whatever it is you need to get a grip on, whether it's your mouth or something else, then practice perseverance and never, ever let go of it. He says to perseverance, then add godliness. And this is another very vague word. In the original Greek of the New Testament, it's translated out of the word eusebia, which literally means the ability to look in two directions at once. It means that we will have the ability to focus on the things of God and on the needs of humans without losing focus on either one. That's what godliness means. Too often, we can get focused on human need and lose focus on the things of God. Or we can get so focused on the things of God that we get lose focus on human need. But being able to look at both at the same time and not lose focus, that is how God sees things. And when we can see things the way God sees them, then yes, we will grow in Christ-likeness. He says, to godliness, add brotherly kindness. Again, this simply means that we are willing to share in the burdens of other people. We are willing to enter into their suffering with them in order to walk with them through it, such as through a time of grief and mourning. Being willing to make a sacrifice of yourself from time to time in order to make yourself available to that hurting person, that person who's grieving, that person who is trying to recover from a serious illness or is possibly facing death. He says, add to godliness brotherly kindness, because I walked with you through many bad times. I want you to do the same for others. I want to conclude by telling you a story that will make my final point. In the 1924 World Series, the Washington Senators were playing the New York Giants. Each team had won three games, and it was now the ninth inning of Game 7, and both teams were tied at two runs. Gus Gosselin for the Washington Senators steps up to the plate. The ball's pitched. It's a swing and a miss. The ball's pitched again. Again, swing and a miss. The ball's pitched a third time. And this time, Gus Gosselin makes a very good, solid connection with that ball, and he hits it high and deep into center field. In fact, it goes so high and so deep that by the time the center fielder catches it, that Gus Gosselin is already at second base. But the center fielder then bobbles the ball and drops it on the ground. And so he's told to run on to third base, and he's waved on to home plate. And as Gus Gosselin crosses the plate, 2 seconds later, the sound of the ball hitting the catcher's mitt sounds, and there's a puff of dust. Clearly, he has beat the ball. But for some reason, the umpire says, "You're out." How could he possibly be out? He beat the ball. You see, the problem was that in his haste to make it around the bases, he failed to touch first base. Therefore, he's out. The same kind of thing is true for us. We cannot live a godly, Christ-like life unless we make it to first base. And that first base is receiving the gift of faith and salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ. Without that, we will never, ever be able to climb that ladder. Amen.